Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do-do-do-do.
Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day Beyonce.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality gate. Let's love.
Gross. Why are you putting on lip balm? Y'all, if you're watching the intimate portrait,
and you're just turned on right now.
No, you just turned off. Stop it. Stop deep throating your Burt's Bees. We have to be kind to bees.
The tiny penis.
Wow.
I already have kind lips.
Wow. You know what? They're not paying us money.
You know what? That's not a hill you need to die on.
You know what? Y'all drink your Dr. Pepper Zero Sugar then and go to Caddo Street Barbecue. Hey, everybody.
And I'm going to drink my Louisiana iced tea.
That's the best. We can support them. Y'all, welcome to Reality Gaze. This is Happily Ever After, Season 6, Episode 11. I have a problem with this name, but it's what it's called. Man up or shut up.
Man up or shut up. It just sounds like something, kind of a combination of your abusive boyfriend would say to you. It's awful.
Y'all, just a little reminder. Don't tell people to man up.
Man up. Ooh.
You realize it's just...
Or nut up is even worse.
Nut up?
Yeah, like nut up, like have some balls.
Oh, wow. Usually when I've heard the word nut, it's very different.
I know. Yeah, and usually that's misogynistic.
Usually when I hear the word nut, I am going like, oh, and I have to turn around real quickly.
It's saying though that being male is the state of strength.
It's strength.
So
yeah. So it's pretty much normal.
Which in the case of Kalani and Asuelu, we know that's not the case.
Not the case.
And Tiffany and Ronald, as she said before. What did she say? I'm the man here. I want to be the head. I'm the man. I was just like, what she said? Now I have to look.
I don't know. I just am going to say, never did I think Christmas could be so sad.
I don't
well
know.
Well done, Tiffany
Next
and Ronald.
Next week, it looks spectacular because Moneybags is coming back. They're going to be in costumes. There's going to be fighting. Someone's going to knock the Christmas tree over. I'm very excited.
Oh.
And for Kalani to just sit there and cry, as she always does.
I hope she beats someone's ass, but she
won't.
Well,
I hope her sister gets involved.
Tammy's
a bitch.
Didn't know we were going to bring that back.
This is Reality Gaze.
Y'all.
Let's do a couple of announcements before we start. For those of you who want to fast forward.
I'm going to do these quickly. I have one we didn't talk about, but I'm going to talk about it now.
Fun.
I just want to say, we did an Instagram post about it. Y'all, never have you talked to us about our classless episode so much before. Except this week, we on our $5 Patreon, or if you want to watch our Pillow Biter talk, that's on the $50 tier. I have to say, we watched finally the finale of season one of Happily Ever After. Poodle, what is this finale, or what is this tell all famous for?
She smells bad down there from Danielle.
Yes, it is.
Or from Muhammad.
Yeah, from Danielle Muhammad, but it's also Pow and Russ having this fight about her not going. She wants to change her name.
On camera.
It's about Melanie and DeVar talking about getting. DeVar wants to fuck all the time. And Melanie wants to beat the shit out of DeVar. I'm tongue-tied because we gasped and screamed, and we were like, oh my God, why can't tell-alls be this always?
And then Melanie and Pau join forces and become two mean girls backstage and start screaming and basically doing Arsenio Hall, whoop, whoop, whoop.
Which we enjoyed as well, ever Muhammad got red for Phil.
I've never heard anyone cheer for an annulment before.
I have, but they did.
Yeah. Maybe but your father's.
Yeah, Aunt Peggy and Aunt Darla like,
bitch, y'all. She's gone now. See ya, slut.
One day I'm going to tell that story,
see
y'all.
See ya, slut.
Oh, that's part of the story. One day y'all are going to hear it.
Oh, God.
Anyway, y'all.
Well, the gist is that Peggy and Darla are responsible for your father's, for ending your father's second marriage.
Facts.
Basically.
Facts. Oh, that is true.
It's a great story. It would take more time than we have time to address here.
But I will say, y'all, not to toot our own horn, but we really had a ball. If you jump into our Patreon, some good visuals.
I'm mugging more than Rachel on this season's of Love After Lockup.
Yeah. So we had a good time. That's all I wanted to say, Poodle.
Okay. So we remember, new show alert. Well, it's not a new show, but we're doing Below Deck Med this season, y'all. It's going to drop. The show airs on Mondays. It's going to drop on Tuesdays. I've watched almost every season of Below Deck and
Poodle
Below Deck
is
Med.
Poodle is a cuckold to my Below Deckness.
What?
You're the cuckold. You're like guiding me.
Oh, because I'm kind of like watching you get ramrodded.
Ramrodded by Below Deck, yeah, for the first time.
I want to see it. Pull his legs up.
Yeah. Captain Lee, he's watch a daddy, it. Right?
I don't ever call me a cuckold again. That's disgusting.
If you're watching our intimate portrait on our top tier, the color drained from his face.
No, I went. The bile came up in my neck. So, yeah, I've seen most of them. I have not seen Below Deck Sailing Yacht because season one, I watched two episodes of and went, this is garbage. But everyone says season two is really great. But we are on season six of Below Deck Med right now.
We are.
It is Captain Sandy and her fucking camera hog self. Malia is acting like her narc sucky up self is normal. Again, neither of them are my favorites. I kind of like the crew. I'm enjoying Katie. The Chiefs do this year.
I like her.
She's no Hannah. She's no Kate. But I'm sure there's going to be some drama.
Oh,
down
for
the line.
Sure. For sure.
Anyway, and we've already seen Captain Sandy say ridiculous things.
Yes.
I've never done this in all my yachting career, which we've heard 1,000 times. Y'all, she hasn't screamed maritime law yet, but I'm sure that'll happen soon.
Y'all, the chef quit on the first day, but then came back. That's all I'm saying. It's fucking
y'all,
good.
His days are numbered.
I really like this show. So,
Sandy's
anyway,
got like a voodoo. Got
check
a voodoo
it out.
All of him.
It's on the free feed, so check it out. What's next,
it's
Poodle?
It's such a good show, y'all.
Y'all, another new show alert, an announcement. Do you know where their sexy beast and where to find them? Because we do.
Blech.
It's on Netflix and we're doing Sexy Beast, y'all.
This show is like me after like a night of Indian food. Those are the dreams that I have.
I love Indian food. But it does give you crazy dreams.
It gives
all the
me
spices.
Crazy dreams.
Yeah, that's true. It does.
Especially if I eat like about 3 different dishes. Like an Indian buffet, or you
now want Indian food, and I'm in the middle of Oklahoma.
But they're especially, and I always overeat when I get Indian food because I want to eat it all.
It's because it's so delicious.
It's so delicious.
So y'all, Sexy Beast is a show. It's kind of taking this idea of, well, Love is Blind is they weren't able to see one another. So what if people go on dates, but we give them very highly ornate face
prosthetic
makeup and prosthetics, like
visual
fucking,
effects makeup.
It's like an episode of fucking Face Off, which I love that show. And so it's people that are dating. One person's in a dolphin mask. Another person's in a scary scarecrow.
They're disturbing.
It's disturbing as fuck. There's 6 episodes. We're going to watch it. It's a binge. It's going to be on our $5 tier of our Patreon. But as always, we're going to put the first episode out for y'all to enjoy.
It feels like some kind of show that when I was living in Austria, that I would wake up and it would be on at like 3 in the morning in Austria. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? It's very European. And it's a symbol, and it's one of the signs of the end times. So, so you guys, the rivers are going to turn to blood soon. So be watching out for that. Yep. So sexy.
Good
beast.
Luck. Thanks. Good luck, Chicago.
Thanks,
luck.
Netflix.
What's next, Poodle? We're almost done.
There's another show.
Y'all, we're getting ram.
New show alert. We're getting rough fucked this month, and not the good kind.
No.
This is the kind where you're tired. You've came and they're just pummeling you, and you're kind of making the sound like but it's not sexy anymore.
No,
it's just like, get off me.
This is for me. Is like two guys have already came over. Okay, let's be honest, three, and took you to Slam Town, but then like 2 hours later, after you think everything's done, your hot daddy with the 9-inch dick, who when he calls, you have to answer. Otherwise, he'll take you off the list. Says, hey, I'm coming over. And you're like, what am I going to do?
You do what you do. You grab yourself a drink. You grab yourself some Gatorade and you get to work. That's what you do.
Some Pedialyte. As Cheryl says, you lean in and bend over.
You need to tell her we're using her slogan. So y'all, we're doing a show. It's on Discovery Plus. It's not really 90 Day Fiancé. By the way, Sexy Beast is going to go on our Patreon at the $5 tier.
It's a Netflix show.
It's a Netflix binge.
I said that.
Sorry.
No, I'm just saying we're good.
So Caribbean Love, you guys, short form 90 Day franchise show, not really 90
Day
Fiancé.
Technically 90 Day though. It's called 90 Day Caribbean Love.
But there's no 90 Day Fiancé concept to it.
No, it feels more kind of like 90 Day the other way.
But there's no fiancé and guarantee of a green card, I don't believe.
It's just they're dating and they're in the Caribbean. Yeah.
And these are like, I suggested island sluts, but that was rejected.
I think they got this idea because Cuckoo came over there with her slip and they met some people and they went, hi.
I had the best time.
That's
in
fine.
Ladyville, Belize.
Maybe. I tell you, if she played her cards right, Miss Cuckoo could be the host of this show. Can you imagine?
With her eye half closed.
Yeah. Welcome to Caribbean Love, sponsored by Sip.
Caribbean Love, sponsored by Sip. I'm your host,
Stelmore. And I've got a lot of good friends that work for me.
You want to see people in love, Cuckoo? And then,
if it doesn't work out, I'll just buy them. That's what's going to happen.
Anyway, as long as they're brown people, I could buy them.
That's exactly what she says.
That's also going to be. I think there are six episodes of
y'all. I'll be honest. Poodle fought me on this because he said we don't have
to do it.
He said we don't have time to. And then I sent him the trailer, and I went.
And then I
fuck.
Said we have to do this.
I said fuck, this looks messy, and the guys are hot.
It feels like a kind of a cross between Love After Lockup.
It does. It does. I'm kind of excited for it.
It's that quality of people. It's like a lot of Midwestern women who are like, I've got myself a bow. Oh. And it's really awful.
I'm on Island Town. Carol, I'll call you later.
There's going to be lots of people getting mutual tattoos. And I guarantee you some white people braiding their hair.
Oh, yes. They're going to. Yes. Guarantee.
So that's
coming
it,
though.
Out.
There's no more new shows, Poodle, right? That's it. There can't possibly be more
Get
fucking
ready.
From shows
Get
in
ready.
July.
Get ready. We're running a train on y'all. We're running a fucking train. This train don't stop. You know what's crazy? There is both a train whistle at my house and one at your father's. That's commitment.
My dad was walking around out here. Matthew. And I went, yeah, Pop, why is there a train whistle here? And I said, it's for the show. And without a beat, he goes, okay.
That's like when my mother, when I was putting on wigs for Cameo, my mother's like, what?
I was putting on a Carl's Wife and walking across.
She's like, what? I said, it's for the show. She's like, okay.
I put on my Carl's Wife and I walked by and Aunt Peggy said, Well, honey, I like that wig.
She didn't blink an eye.
Not an eye.
Peggy didn't even flinch, y'all.
Anyway, sorry, y'all.
People on the YouTube live said, icon.
Icon. Y'all, sorry. A lot of announcements this show. If you don't like it, just fast forward to 20 minutes.
Darcy and Stacy is returning.
We gotta get the cough drops.
Blah, blah.
They're all with you. Queens
of the world.
I've got to order some for here. Hey, you know what? Hey, Siri, remind me tonight at 11 p.m. order cough drops.
So that's going to be important on our regular feed, you guys, because that's just straight up 90 day. And that's coming out, I believe, in Monday,
July 19th. If you haven't seen the trailer of that, what are you waiting for?
Stacy and Florian are going through a fertility journey. Florian seems as equally confused to be there.
Equally confused, yes. Georgie.
Guys, that's the baby with me.
Georgie's just trying to be there, and Darcy still says, I don't know if he loves me. I don't know. I don't know. This is going to be fun.
Even now.
Even now. She's like, is this love? I don't know.
She does. To be honest, I have not been looking more forward to a season two more than these two.
Agreed.
We had an absolute rout making fun of them.
We did. I love them.
So I think that's it.
That's it. Okay.
Wait.
Oh.
Wait.
No.
Hold.
No. Hold
everything.
Up. Every show we ever covered is coming back.
In July or August.
Yeah.
So we're not just running a train. Now, this is like a full-on orgy. Y'all, Love is Blind After the Altar is coming out at the very end of July.
They just
on Netflix.
Us. It just dropped today. They just fucked us, the teaser.
The teaser dropped, not
the
show.
Yeah, the teaser dropped today.
So there's three episodes of that.
Uh-huh.
We're going to get to see all the ones. We're going to see where Barnett and Amber are. I am shocked they're together.
Oh, I love them. I follow them on Instagram. I love them.
I disliked her for so long.
You did.
I'm now kind of on Team Amber.
I'm such, y'all, she's there.
I still think she's a woohoo girl.
Oh, but yeah, I think she's a woohoo girl.
I think she's going to cheat on him one day.
possibly. Cameron and Lauren. Oh,
they're so wonderful.
They're still together. But y'all, there's Jessica saying, well, I basically just exploded on camera and had a meltdown in front of everybody.
Yeah. So, y'all, it's definitely be worth. Now, we don't know if Mark is going to be there because he's recently had a baby.
He recently had a baby, but you know they're going to talk about it. The way they're filming this, watch the trailer, but it's not a reunion show.
No, this it's like, is where like, are they now?
It's like a where are they now, but it's a little bit of interviews with the camera, but then it's also like following like three of the couples as they go to lunch and they're talking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like it almost feels kind of like The Hills or something like where they're just going to brunch and having a conversation.
But not The Hills right now, because that's basically Justin Bobby asking Brody if he's got any something for lower back pain.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
No. Now they're saying things like, have you seen my AARP magazine?
Yeah, they are.
Like, the idea that we're waiting for Brody to figure out if Brody and Audrina are going to hook up or not, they're late. They're in their late 30s. Wait,
is The Hills actually on still? Is it still on
yet? Yes.
But do you watch it because Brody's still so hot?
He's got the worst fucking haircut right now.
Oh,
it's kind of like a bad, like bleached at the ends. Brody is hot, but that haircut needs to go.
I want to shear him myself. We open things up. We need to move on. This is our longest announcements ever. But
I know.
Sorry, y'all. There's a lot.
I had to announce four fucking new
shows. No, there's a lot. I'm not dogging you.
And y'all catch us our new episode of Foodie Call where we make Alexi and Lauren's dishes.
That's on Instagram
tomorrow.
No, you're right. No, this show comes out on Sunday. It's already dropped.
It's the new one.
God.
And y'all, our charity for this month in the Stacey Squad is the Fisher Home Foundation, which makes it so that military families of military members can be near them for when they're having medical treatment or grief counseling, all of these things. It's to protect the families and to assist the families of military personnel who serve just like the military personnel do.
Yes.
And I think that's it.
Okay, y'all. We're going to go to a commercial and we'll be... No, sorry. Sorry, y'all. We had a lot. So don't lie to write a review that we had a lot of announcements, because that's how we get information to y'all and get y'all excited.
I guess you didn't want to hear about four new motherfuckers shows.
It's all
coming
for you. I guess you'll just find out. Poodle, are you ready? Should it happen?
I'm ready.
Y'all, we're going to talk about Tiffany and Ronald. But before we jump into that, we normally don't talk about new stuff, but we have to tell you, spoiler, they broke up over Instagram this weekend. We've got our 90-day reality gaze reporter, Poodle Boudreaux, on the scene. Poodle, tell us what went down.
Basically, I'm like an uninformed person. So I see it's Tiffany on the street, and she's looking like she's real angry. So I asked her, I says, Tiffany, are you not with that boy, that South African boy anymore? And she says to me, you know, no, we don't have each other, what each other really needs right now. And I hope in the future we may get something back together. And then she told me to watch her Instagram story, and she was getting gastric bypass surgery. And she's going to look good now. Yeah.
Oh, she is? Oh, mm-hmm. Wow. Didn't know
yeah.
she's going to
My
do that.
Sister Sheila got it. So.
How's Sheila doing?
She's doing good. She's looking a little bit like, you know how sometimes when bigger people lose a lot of weight, they kind of look like aliens all of a sudden, or like an alien crossed with a dog. I never said she was pretty.
We're going to have to edit that out.
So anyway. So it seems that her and Ronald are no longer together.
Okay.
It looks like you guys, in all honesty,
you can go to her Instagram. It's a big fucking mess.
And he, holy crap.
Melanated Way talked about it on her Instagram too. Now to get the Melanated Way.
And Linda's been following that very closely. Linda, at the Melanated Way. Linda's your source for all Tiffany Ronald related news.
Or she has a podcast, I think, and a Patreon. You can listen to
those.
She's talking about
The main thing to know here, you guys, is that Tiffany, of course, you would imagine Tiffany would never be the petty kind. And you would never think Ronald would be, what I'm saying, I'm a liar. They're both petty as fuck. And they both screenshot everything they can. Now,
I kind of learned, oddly enough, from Too Hot to Handle, which, by the way, there's a reunion of Too Hot to Handle. It's on the YouTube. You can check it out. We learned in one of those fucking workshops, the guy talked about people react in three different ways to conflict. Mm-hmm. And he said some people, they are reactionary.
Reactive, not reactionary.
Sorry. They are both reactive. And it's so, we see it in this episode, but we literally see it on Instagram, how they're just going at each other viciously. Yep.
He basically sent her that she screenshot. They have been emailing each other, which is weird. Probably because she's blocked him.
Yeah. Oh, he can't call her anymore.
No. So he's emailed her, and y'all, there was this like unpunctuated screed that you couldn't even read. And it was like saying awful things about her. It was super abusive in the language. I'm going to give Tiffany, credit for getting receipts. We all know that Ronald's probably said those things other times. We all know Ronald's a nightmare. We all know Ronald is a monster, and he's capable of that kind of language at any time, as we saw in this episode.
Yeah.
We know that Tiffany likes to be overly critical, and Tiffany likes to see how far she can push Ronald.
She does.
So there is this, and I'm not going to say Tiffany was asking for the abusive language, because she was not.
No, not at all. No,
but
not
what
at
I,
all.
What I am saying is Tiffany is going to use every moment of this to wage a personal war against Ronald.
She is. She's
and
yeah, she's gonna use. She is gonna use it against him to
yes.
Basically to hurt his reputation. Instead and she's of just going kind to play, of moving on.
Yes, and she's gonna play the victim, which she is. But we're talking soap opera victim style.
Yeah,
this is gonna be next level. So everyone get ready for this. I don't know if I have the stomach to watch the three-act really, play that's going to happen.
I really like Tiffany. Like, I think she's, I think she just, like, I think Ronald's a gross person. Tiffany, I don't. I
you
just
know,
think, what?
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say that, actually, no, I don't think Ronald's a gross person.
Oh, I do.
I think Ronald is just really, really just has a lot of just mental illness and his own pathology.
I Tiffany, think you're being kinder to both of them than I am.
Well, for Tiffany, I like her, but I'm just like, man, Tiffany, you gotta work on your shit because it's just coming out. Like, you've got to really. It's interesting when she loses weight because a lot of people think they lose weight. They become different, or it solves their problems. And a lot of I have like three or four friends, none of them in my family, but friends that did gastric bypass that worked because my family's didn't. But they actually talked about all those emotional issues that they had when they were, in their words, fat, mm-hmm. and then they lost the weight. They actually were magnified.
Yep,
they actually made them more vulnerable. They made them feel more raw. More seeing. It was really hard for them yeah. to process. And so it could be awakening for her.
It's not that I don't like Tiffany. I think now it's this kind of fool me once thing. Fool me twice. Shame on me. You know, I just am like, oh, how yes. many times, girl? Well, how many times does he have to fucking show you who he is?
Well, I think what you were saying earlier when you were saying, now I'm not saying Tiffany deserves this abuse.
No, you're not at all.
No, but I was going to say, what you're describing is, this is, I think a lot of times people say, well, they do victim blame and say, well, they should know better or she shouldn't do this. But what you've got to realize is that Tiffany found her pattern partner. She found mm-hmm. the person who replicates the pattern she's used to of the cycle of
right.
abuse. Ronald found his pattern partner, and they're both in this gross patterns that they've enacted with other people, I guarantee you, many times before. And so that's what you're saying is that she is complicit in having responsibility to the pattern of this toxic relationship, yeah. not the abuse.
With one corollary, I think people would let her off if she didn't play, I'm a strong woman. I don't need any of this. Every other episode. So it sounds like she's just like so hypocritical every time.
I think that's just more of an insecurity thing. And what's sad about that is that her thing of saying I'm a strong woman or I'm the man, actually that's her isolating herself. So then yeah. when she wants to ask for help, she tells herself she can't because she has to be strong and do it on herself.
Right. Now, I agree with you. I just
and she also brought her child over there, Daniel, and got him in all of this mess.
I can't forgive that.
Yeah,
and
that's really
and I just don't have a lot of sympathy for her anymore.
I
have been sympathetic to her for a really long time.
Because now it's not just Daniel that she involved in this. Now I told
it's
this
Carly.
Poodle and I were talking about that. Yes, we talk about 90 Day Fiancé sometimes
yeah,
when we're
did.
Not on the air. But you know, y'all, Tiffany is not going to let Daniel see Ronald because
never.
He's never fully adopted Ronald or Daniel. She's going to say, fuck no, my kid's not going to South Africa.
yeah.
But Carly is
Carly's going to be a pawn.
And she's, if you think Daniel in this episode, and we're going to talk about this episode, I swear. If you think Daniel was put in the middle, imagine how Carly's going to feel if they yeah. don't work this shit out.
I don't think Ronald's capable of working this out, because I think Ronald will never, quote unquote, and this is where the language he would put it, he'll never submit to her wishes. It has to be tit for tat with him. And they're in this, like, who's got the biggest penis game, even though Tiffany.
Ronald would only possibly change if he came to the United States, because then the culture would be a little different. But
I don't even think that.
I think it would still take a lot. Like, if you look at someone like Asuelu, who moved to the U.S., and so he's conflicted about, well, my culture does this, but it's different here. So he's trying to, like, see those. But it's
but
what
they're
I was
different
say,
people. Asuelu and
no,
Ronald
they
are very
different
people.
People. But what I'm actually going to say is that, yes, it is very hard to change who you are when the culture supports who you're already being and how you already operate in the world. It's hard enough to do it.
Also,
it's hard enough to do it in a culture that's different. But because he's never going to change, because that's the he is from a very patriarchal culture. It's not going to change. Yeah. Why would he?
And I don't want to loop in all South African culture there.
No.
Especially the family he grew up in. You can tell it by his mother, who's basically afraid of him, y'all.
Yeah,
that's what I
see.
Every time she makes – we're going to talk about – she makes excuses for him. I guarantee you he's probably shouted at her or something.
Oh, yeah. He stole a refrigerator. Of course he shouted at her.
He pawned it, yeah. He stole it, then he pawned it.
Then he pawned it. Yeah, but let's just jump into the episode.
Yeah,
I think it'll come out.
Let's just so anyway. They're in the car, and Ronald tells them, "I want you to feel as homely as possible." I enjoyed homely as possible. I want you to be super homely.
So, so how's he going to do that? They're going to go.
We're going to go to get a Christmas fair, y'all. This is the lead up to every Lifetime movie. Before the husband kills the wife. Like, that's what it feels like.
When, I wonder, there's one thing that's a little weird with 90 Day is that all the timelines seem everywhere. Like, it feels like Mike and Natalie are in spring, Jovi and Yara are in Christmas. I don't know when it actually, is it even close to Christmas in South Africa right now? When did they film this?
They're all filmed in similar times. Yeah, this is, remember that, you're trying to think about seasons? Remember in the Southern Hemisphere, seasons are the opposite.
No, I know, but I just mean, is this November? Is this December?
No, this is like, December.
Okay, so they are there at Christmas time. Okay.
But I think you're right. They unless there's something specific to the time of year, they actively avoid that. So you don't... Yeah. You don't get too much into the storytelling of that. So they're going to this kind of Christmas tree, and what better way to make your stepson want to stay with you than buying him everything he wants?
And Tiffany knows this is just, again, y'all, this is gross. He is bribing Daniel to get to her, and she's
Daniel says, Mom, that means we're staying, right?
And I mean, look, y'all.
This sucks, y'all. Ugh.
Because I guess this is a thing. Because y'all, look, I love Christmas. I've made YouTube videos on how to decorate your Christmas tree. Go find them. They're somewhere in the ether. Daniel freaks the fuck out when he goes into this Christmas store.
Well, think about it,
though. No, I mean, but I mean, I'm not making fun of him. I'm saying Ronald chose the right thing to bribe him to get there. And that's what's even grosser about it is he chose something he knew Daniel would completely go over the top about.
He chose something that is a symbol of joy, and he is using it against Daniel and Tiffany. And it's absolutely deplorable. And I've mentioned this before, you guys, besides the intense misogyny of Ronald, and this kind of sinister impulse, Ronald just thinks like a criminal.
He does. And,
It is this way of I will get anything. I will.
Well,
outsmart
it's really he thinks.
You.
Really, he thinks like he feels like someone who's still in the throes of addiction.
That's true.
That's to me what he thinks. Because, and again, y'all, pattern. Look at the pattern. It's starting all over again. This is literally the same beat as a grocery store.
Yep. And Tiffany's like, let's spend wisely.
Yeah, she's like, let's think about our budget. Let's spend wisely.
Don't let mommy ruin our fun.
Then Daniel is, Ronald immediately, y'all, this is a microaggression. This is a misogynist. This is what he is starting to do. To get Daniel to not trust his mother and for Daniel to think that a man can make decisions and override his own mother, a woman.
And then we meet Helga, the South African elf.
yeah.
who hates her life.
She's not
an
happy.
Elf in a mask.
She's not here.
She's like, welcome to so-and-so Christmas market. Anything I can help you with? Christmas is our job.
Yep. And so they're Daniel's filling all this stuff up. And then Tiffany says, and so Ronald's like, she's like, you know, make it feel like Christmas, but just don't overspend. And Ronald says, I want to give my son what he wants.
The biggest tree. We're going to get the biggest tree.
So he's, again, putting Daniel in the middle. And I thought, surely this can't get even worse. But then they see a Christmas tree. And there's like a fine Christmas tree. And then there's like a gigantic Christmas tree.
That is $300, basically.
And that, yes. And that.
Y'all, Mother Poodle would never spend $300 on a fake tree. God.
Oh, I have. I do.
No.
But I
no,
get a good tree.
She goes to the outlets and gets it.
Because I keep it for 10 years.
Yeah, she'd never spend that much. Oh. Because she would say, for that, I could just go out and cut my own tree.
Not
just
me.
Just don't want to have the hassle of it.
Balsam Hill, love them. Anyway, so they see this big tree. And then instead of Ronald being like, you know what, this tree is fine. He literally just keeps talking about
what he's never going to do.
How this is so much better. This tree's great. And then he says, my boy, what tree do you want? And you see, this broke my heart.
This
because
was so awful.
You see that look that Daniel gives his mother. And it's the look of, I don't want you not to love me. I don't want you to disappoint
me.
And that's what Ronald's putting into this kid's head.
And he knows what she wants him to say, and he knows what Ronald wants him to say.
He doesn't.
And you can see his logic, and he's having to think like an adult, and it sucks.
Did you guess what, y'all? If Ronald and Tiffany were adults, and then they have a conversation over him, you know what? We love the big tree, but you know what? Let's get the smaller tree. That's our better fit for us. And they said, yeah, I agree with that, honey. Or whatever the decision is.
Yeah.
Daniel won't. He might say, oh, I'd want the big. But when he gets home, he doesn't care.
Yeah.
Daniel just wants his family to agree and get along. That's what Daniel wants for Christmas, a family.
His therapist is going to, he'll bring all these clips to his therapist in about 4 or 5 years.
He's going to he's going to have to, in like
he's
5 years.
He's got evidence.
Oh, yeah. 5 years, he's going to walk into a house and there's a Christmas tree and he has to have like a shot of Jim Beam.
So anyway, they're checking out. It's $700.
Wait.
The equivalent of $700 they've spent.
So here, but did you see that they translated on 90 Day Fiancé? And I could have sworn maybe I had the red thong, but the red wrong. It said it was $200. Was it seven? I read $200, but then Ronald said it was $700.
Oh, I thought he said it was $680.
So what I read, I think he lied. I think he said it was more money than it actually was.
I don't
Again,
know. I just heard him.
To show how wonderful he is and to show how much money. No. They said the total, unless I saw it wrong, I could go back and look.
I wasn't looking. I was writing, so
no.
I might not have looked at
so
the screen.
Yes, the total is, it's still a lot of money, but it was $200, not $680.
Don't take your word for that, because I don't know if that's, why would
Come
he make up,
me.
Why would he make up a total?
Because that's what someone who has a gambling addiction find. They want to be seen as someone.
High roller. I get that. I don't know either way. I wrote down what I was, because a lot of times I'll be listening. I won't be seeing things on the screen. I'll just be writing.
Also, Daniel says, well, and Tiffany's saying, this is showing me that his spending habits aren't good. And then Ronald says, well, I'll just put it on my credit card. And Tiffany says, I know how long that takes him to pay off. Here's the deal, y'all. As somebody who's worked in addiction and had a lot of friends that are in debtors anonymous and things like that, which Ronald was in some type of program like that. This is why I'm going to say, I kind of think either Ronald's program didn't work clearly, or it was a bullshit program, because no one with Ronald's spending habit should ever have a credit card.
I totally agree with you.
But that's not even my opinion. That is like rule one of Debtors Anonymous. Is mm-hmm. get rid of your credit card. You buy everything in cash. Like, and the fact that he's this soon out of a program and he already has a credit card, I bet you he's already racked up so much debt.
But remember, this is whatever he was in is
cured.
He is cured. He is not quote unquote in recovery. He is cured from his now. And they probably didn't even work on handling money. They probably worked on the religious connotation of being a gambling addict.
Y'all, if you have problems with money, with financial, you overspend, or you just feel like you need, I highly recommend Debtors Anonymous. It's a really wonderful, wonderful organization.
Makes you very accountable to your own money.
And you learn to
separate how the money isn't worth your own worth.
Because we all have emotion in money. Whether you acknowledge it or not, we do.
So,
and that's the thing. Daniel does not. He has no emotional awareness at all.
Money buys things. It has nothing to do with emotion.
Because if he was really working a program, he would say, you know, he would sit down and say, Daniel, you're coming here. I really wanted to build you a new room. I really want to do these things, but I'm really trying to be good with my spending habits because I want to really build a new life for us and I want to be able to support us as a family. I love you so much. What's a way we could spend time together? What's a way like we could do things together? It doesn't
that
have
will
to
never, but never come out of his
it
mouth.
It will never come out of his mouth.
Because I guarantee you, probably the way he was raised is they might, I don't know where they were, but I guarantee you his mother would buy him things that was showing her love. So any type of spending and things are how they show love. Not true. About time.
That's true.
That's true. Shall we move on to the next thing when they're going to see elephants? They're going to an elephant refuge.
Yeah, before we do that, we're going to take a little commercial break. And when we get back, we're going to talk about Ronald and Tiffany going to the zoo.
Y'all, we're going to see the elephants. And guess who's showing up? It's Super Dad! Able to lie to children in a single bound. Able to pawn a fridge faster than a speeding bullet. Able to make his bank account go away in a single bounce!
In a single bounce!
Super dad, y'all. I'm saying super dad because his mom is coming with them and they're getting to spend. It's a perfect family time because grandma's coming and she loves spending time with the kids. He's got a shirt on that says, with a dad and two kids, and it says, "This is what it's about." And then I threw up in my mouth. This is so awful, y'all.
Yeah.
This episode may have turned my stomach more from Ronald than any other episode I've ever seen from them.
I agree.
Although I will say that quarantine episode when they were screaming at one another.
That was pretty gross.
Was pretty fucking awful.
Which I think when they filmed that was in the midst of this.
Might have been.
Because she was in South Africa, remember?
Yes.
So,
oh God, yeah, that was so awful.
But that was during this time. So, didn't go good, y'all.
Didn't go good.
So they're at the zoo, and again, Tiffany. It's just, we're gonna talk. They're feeding the elephants, and that's like an elephant rescue, and they're talking about it's really cute.
God, I love elephants. I would love to go to an elephant rescue, but it would need to be free formed. I would not need to be caged or anything like that.
Yeah.
I don't like animals being caged.
It looked like this rescue, not I'm just wondering, but maybe not. Like I noticed one of the tusks look weird. So it might be like animals that can't protect themselves. Yeah. So
I get that.
That's gonna be where they're gonna put Poodle Knot after we've gotten fucked so much, and it'll just say, "Here we have Poodle
Sanctuary.
Poodle Quirias."
I'm just like
sitting there. She once flooded her days up.
Just dragging my colon behind me.
And then one day she actually fucked the offensive line as well as the defensive line.
That was the day her butt fell out.
And that's why she's here. That's why she's here.
That's me just dragging it around.
Just dragging it around on that walker.
Someone's like, do you need like a little wagon for that? That'd be great. Thanks.
It's on your walk. Or as my dad calls his stroller. He calls his walker.
His stroller?
Matt, hand me my stroller. He also says when someone gets onto him or he gets mad at someone, he'll say, Matt, give me my phone. I'm pissed at your brother. I'm going to call and chew his ass out.
Oh, I've heard that before. It's my parents say it.
But it's some people that argue.
It does sound weird because to gay men, we're like, ooh.
Because my dad was like.
Tell me more, Big Daddy.
I talked to Bill Job and he chewed my ass out. And I was like, really?
Like, did he?
Did he? Doesn't sound negative to me at all.
You're closer than I thought.
I thought he was vegetarian. Anyway,
they're having a good time. Everything is fine, but y'all, and he's carrying Carly everywhere, and his mother is like, oh,
and then Tiffany just can't. She can't. I agree with kind of what Ronald said. She can't let it go. This is the problem. Is Tiffany can't be happy herself, so she can't do this with Ronald.
And she needs to, they both need to control the situation.
Yes.
She needs to control the situation to kind of suit her because she's afraid of failure. So is Ronald. So that way, if there's enough control, if I hold on tightly enough, I won't fail. And Ronald kind of feels the same way, but in a more misogynistic way because I'm the man. That's what I should do. And they're talking to...
Mom and Tiffany are talking. She's like, how was your shopping yesterday?
And she's like, well, the spending habits, you know, I don't know if we're going to be okay. And the mom is like...
Oh, maybe I can make an excuse for him.
He has his faults, but today... And she's like, magically today, he turned into super dad. She says that. Like, and she's like, well...
He's over eager for Daniel to be here.
Yeah, and she says, and I kind of agree. I did agree one time with Ronald, called the papers, that she says Tiffany does expect, and this was the mom actually, Tiffany expects a lot of Ronald all the time to be kind of, because now that he's being rehabilitated, he's the man who he should be. And she expects a lot of him. Y'all, he's a recovering addict.
Yeah.
You have to set the bar low.
Which is what we said when we watched their prior seasons. We were saying, so you're getting out of rehab. Great day. Let's get married 2 days afterwards. Let's have a baby. They rushed everything so much.
Yeah.
And I still think she was pregnant and they just didn't want to admit it.
Wow.
I
would be surprised.
But also, too, mom says, and I can see her point. I think she's right in this when she says, you, and this Tiffany's not great at this at all, of the empathy of Tiffany, Daniel, and Carly have their circle of who they are. And Ronald feels outside of that circle.
Yeah.
He doesn't know how to, there does.
And it makes him crazy.
It makes him crazy. And Tiffany doesn't ever give him the time to fit into the circle. She just immediately is like, why aren't you in the circle? At least that's what it seems like to us, what we're seeing.
If I put myself in Ronald's position, it would make me a nervous wreck to know that my wife is waiting for me to fuck up.
Oh.
And that is what she is waiting for, and she's going to relish it.
That is a great distinction because she's not waiting for him to succeed. She is waiting for him to
fuck up. Waiting for him to fail.
Yeah.
And that's what this trip is for. And I'm going to say this now, and this is a conspiracy theory. I think this whole trip was to get a videoed tape to show a divorce lawyer.
I think too.
Of how because she wants a divorce.
When she was talking to her mom, we both said she doesn't want to do it. But she just said, I want to give this one more shot. And I think she did want to give it one more shot for the kids, but I think for herself, she was like, I just need evidence to prove he's a dick.
She's such a proud person. She does not want to admit she's failed because to her would be failure, and she would blame herself instead of saying, we're two different people. I fucked up.
And she doesn't want Daniel and Carly to grow up with the dad like she didn't. Y'all, you got to remember, Daniel already didn't grow up the dad.
Generational guilt.
She was way, it's generational. She didn't have a father until recently. Who could daddy me anytime?
Oh, God. I will say, it's not that I don't like Tiffany. I just want to like take her away for a weekend or two and say, honey, you don't need any of this. Let like four gay men that are around you and give you your power. You don't need a man.
She doesn't need this. She doesn't need to be in a relationship for like 5 years.
Not at all.
Not at all. She does not.
No.
She does not.
Especially trying to get fathers or role models for her kids. Her and her, I know it's probably annoying for her to have to deal with her mom, but her and her mother and her sister could help out.
The best role model for love for your children is self-love. Start from there.
Yes.
And
amen.
Then build other love. So,
the mom says, I will take the children for the night and
have a sleepover.
And have a sleepover. It would be an honor to do it.
An honor.
You're making mine sound Scottish now. It would be an honor.
But this is how tense they are. Y'all, most couples I know, when the mom says, hey, I'm going to take the kids for the night, they're like, woo! Have you ever seen your brother and sister-in-law, or when your parents were younger and your grandmother Poodle would say, let me take the boys tonight, your mother would be like, gah! And like send you running for have a break.
I think she had a poker face. We didn't really. Probably on the other end of it.
She probably ran home, took off her bra, and sucked your dad's dick.
Oh, don't talk about sucking my father's dick. I don't know. I think they would enjoy. They have their late night gator rides. They go on with Muffin. Because the gator is this little ATV they take around their property.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's our date night. We're going to do our gator ride with Muffin.
Isn't that sweet? I don't know how to respond to that.
Anyway, it's not an actual alligator,
but
by the way.
What I was going to say, most couples are very happy. Not Ronald and Tiffany, because she's already upset.
Well, you know why?
And Ronald.
She has to be real.
And she has to be real. She can't hide behind, I'm trying to be the best mother.
Because,
y'all, Tiffany's identity, and I mean this in a bad way, Tiffany's identity is mother.
Yep.
She doesn't know who she is without her kids. And I think
she became a mom at like 17.
And how could she know? I'm not blaming her for it.
16,
honestly,
maybe?
That's what so many women do. They assume the role of mother, and it's hard not to. Their only thought is the mother. They feel like they're just there to be a service for her kids. But she needs to find, so she needs to figure that out. And Ronald can't stand that two women went behind his back and made a decision of having the kids.
This makes him livid. Because, y'all, as I said before, he kind of hates his mom. Deep down, there's a super deep resentment of his mother.
I
guarantee you.
I agree.
And all women, really. So they're having drinks, and she's like, I can't wait to just drink and blah, blah, blah. And they're talking about, it's been a while since I've gotten a squishy, which is a special kiss. And they explain, Daniel's like, wait, mommy's going to have pregnant. Did Ronald give you a special kiss? And they explain that. Which I'm like, that's not really a bad way to explain it to a young boy.
No, it's not. You've got to, sometimes you can't really say your father fucked me raw dog in the back of a van.
Yeah. Because when we thought, as soon as he got out of rehab, he said, let's start our family.
Your father fucked me in South Africa, but in the back of a car without a condom, the American way, raw dogging.
I'm still amazed how she thinks that the rest of the world only uses condoms, and that America is the place where it's just raw dog city.
Raw dog city.
That's the sequel to New Jack City by Spike Lee.
So they go home, and then they end up going out to dinner what's it called?
Lexi's.
They're going out to dinner, and basically, that's when they start talking kind of about the special kiss and stuff. And then they toast, and Ronald says, a toast to love and happiness.
And Tiffany can't let it go. She's like, we don't need a toast, Reverend. She's more effort on your part.
She can't. This is where you see, because in the first of this episode, you're like, oh, poor Tiffany. But when you watch this, I actually thought, ugh, poor Ronald.
Yeah.
Because he says this later, but we've said this before. She cannot let go of the past.
Nope.
That's what all this is about. She has never processed it, forgiven him, forgiven herself.
Yep.
She cannot let go of any of that.
And
she never will till she has a lot of therapy.
And she has to, the only way she can feel good about herself is belittling him.
Yeah.
And she knows the way to really needle him is to hit his masculinity and his idea of being a provider. And she constantly does it because she needs to finagle herself as the top to his bottom in a sex metaphor. She needs to be the one making the decisions.
Yes.
And that she knows it just completely destroys him inside.
Because it's sad, because Ronald's right. She does have really high expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And that's normal for parenting. Your ideas, you know, this is, one of my mentors said this to me, and just kind of, and I've thought about this of like, even with caretaking for my father, when I leave, my brother is going to caretake my dad a different way. Or if my cousin Sissy's watch, Aunt Peggy's daughter's watching him, I used to have anxiety of, oh, when I go, well, are they going to do this? Are they going to do this? And I remember someone told me, your best is not someone else's best, but does the job get done? And Tiffany's never going to do that with Ronald. Ronald's best, he might be able to take care of his kids, but she never gives him that chance to even prove what that is for him, because it's got to be her level.
This has been your Home Health Minute.
Oh, you're welcome.
Talking about caretaking.
Yep. Your best doesn't have to be somebody else's best. Just get the job done. That's your Home Health Minute.
I agree. I think that's great. That's a great thing.
It really gave me a lot of peace. But again, Tiffany is not.
Hopefully, your father doesn't try to mow the lawn again.
He will. Instead, occupational therapies are coming in, and they're going to help him get on the lawnmower and teach him how to do it. Yeah, that's what I said. Let's teach him how to get on the lawnmower.
So she's. She orders an Aperol spritzer. She doesn't really like it. She's like, is there anything else? And she's like, and Ronald, because this is like dick swinging, y'all, literal dick swinging.
Yeah.
Ronald, after she says a toast to be happy, Ronald's like, you know, she's difficult. So now it is like all out war with them trying to smile.
Ronald's like, you always have a problem with something. Yes. She's like, I can't believe you said I'm difficult. You always have a problem with something. And then that's what Tiffany says. Well, when your mom's around, you're a super dad. I don't get that at home. Can you do that at home? And that's when
he said, what were you talking to my mom about?
I told your mom I'm frustrated. And he said,
and he's like, no, you didn't.
You weren't happy with me for 2 days and you go and complain to my mother about me.
Yeah. This is, I will say, the idea of going behind someone's back and talking to their mother.
But
that's...
Ronald does it because Ronald says to the camera, he's like, communication's the number one thing in a marriage that causes the most problem. Communication, it's the number one thing. But he doesn't communicate either.
No, he doesn't know how to.
They expect from each other, but they don't have those same set of standards.
Zero communication skills as a male.
This is maybe
the only
one
thing
of,
he oh, knows sorry. How to do. The only thing he knows how to do is to express how he's feeling in the moment, and it's usually anger.
Y'all, I'm sorry this is so long, but this is one of the most frustrating couples I think ever on 90 Day Fiancé.
It makes me angry.
And I think it is frustrating because, and I'll be honest, as a therapist, and I'm sure Poodle can speak as a life coach, I see these type of dynamics
me
in relationships
too.
Probably more common than any other problems I see in relationships.
And let me tell you how this ends.
Especially with expectations about children. I sadly know that some of you moms out there probably watch this and get emotional because you're dealing with the same shit with your husband. And that's really hard to watch. And I feel for you.
And ask, are you both being reactive?
Yeah.
Are you both Or are you both seeing things as they are instead of what you expect them to be,
yes,
like Tiffany is or even Ronald is? But these kind of relationships end up a couple ways. One, extremely bitter and always testy. The powder keg is always simmering.
Like people get divorced and they hate each other still, exactly, 20 years later.
Two, somebody calls the cops.
Yeah.
Because there's an issue of, and that's when things just really boil over. Or even worse, number three, someone calls an ambulance. That's how bad things are.
Yeah, I agree.
And it could be one or the other, but I feel this every time we see them. I don't know who it would be. But I'm telling you, I would feel weird about leaving kids alone with Ronald.
It's so interesting because Ronald gets up and leaves, and he's just to talk
totally,
about it, he gets up and leaves. But when normal people leave, they say, I'm leaving. It's all about them. I'm leaving. I've got to go. Where instead Ronald gets up and he's like, come on,
yep,
like a dog.
I could only wish that they would separate and we could find some very lovely way so the kids, both kids and Carly, could see both parents in an equal way. And we all know that's not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
And this is, as we said in the first episode, this is a train going towards an empty train track.
Carly, if Tiffany has her way, will very rarely see her father.
Yep.
If you think she's going to let...
Carly's going to have issues later on.
Yep. If you, I'm telling you, one of those kids are going to end up dancing on a pole.
And that's fine if you want to do
That's fine. We have sissies that dance on a pole, so I shouldn't say that. One of those kids are going to do... One of those kids are going to end up giving a blowjob to a boy in a bathroom just hoping he loves them.
Boy, you really called me out there.
Called me out, too. Let's get real. I'd rather be dancing on a pole making money.
Shall we move on to Kalani and Asuelu? Excuse me.
And now, the tears of Kalani. This episode is called Dance If You Want To, But My Cares Won't Stay Behind. There we are, everybody. Oh, Poodle's coming back to the piano. Coming back.
What did you tell them?
No, you'll just have to listen. You'll just have to listen.
I don't listen to our shows. Are you kidding? I've just spent enough time with you. Why don't I listen to you?
Okay, everybody. Kalani
listen
and
to this one. Blabble on.
Boy, who knew I would root for this couple so much?
I love them now. Remember last season?
God, we are fickle fucks. We are fickle fucks.
So, y'all, they're car shopping.
For a car. Looking for
remember
a car. I want a car.
I need a car. Like it was something I can read a book in. So he crashed his car, wrecked his car. He was in an auto accident.
He was in an auto accident. Yeah.
And they were talking about like, he's like, remember when we were in Samoa and if you went over 45, I would squeeze your balls. He's like, yes, you have injured my balls.
You have injured my balls. So and, Kalani's like, it's been about a month since he worked. It's time for him to go back to work.
Cause I'm going crazy.
Yeah, going crazy. Time have a little bit apart. And so they're going to look at cars. And thankfully, I screamed to the heavens. Kalani said, I don't think this is the right time to buy a house because we're about to buy a car and we just don't know the job. Not the right time to buy a house. And I went, thank you, Jesus.
So you guys, they're looking, he's like, I want a cute car. So then he goes, oh, look at this minivan. Oh, what don't we want? We have lots of people to carry. And the guy's like, hey there. Hey, I'm Fred. I'm your car salesman.
Oh, no, he's not Fred. It's Brad.
Brad,
with that hair,
right,
y'all, it's Brad the car salesman, a.k.a. an extra from Utah Casting.
B-Dog.
B-Dog.
people call him. Hey, B-Dog.
Now, I will say, when you drive for rideshares, vans are actually pretty... Because you can have more people, you can make pretty. I think you can make sometimes more money that way.
Well, I don't know because you have to get a big group of people. to do that.
That's true.
So I, most of the rideshare people I know are driving, they are driving with hybrid vehicles. Even the SUVs are hybrid.
Yeah.
So this is a commonly known thing, you guys. If you're, you're going to make more money if you can save gas.
Yes.
He's like, no, I want a minivan. And the salesman is like, well, you know, what if we had another baby? And Kalani's like,
exactly. And the car salesman says, oh, well, he didn't actually say, what if we have a baby? He said, well, when we have another baby soon.
When we have another baby, and the salesman goes, I'm out. See you later.
Lonnie said, can we have a second? And Brad's like, sure. I got to fluff my hair.
You guys have a great time.
Yeah. And so Asueta says, I want to have another
baby. I
got to
go bang a secretary.
I'm going to go bang a secretary. Got to bang my abstract girl. And so and so Asueta says, I'd like to have another baby. And Kalani says, yeah, we should talk about that before we tell B-Dog.
Instead of talking about it in front of B-Dog, and he acts like... This is just...
It's like he wants a snow cone. It's like saying, I want to get a snow cone after this.
And then they have one section about him playing with her boobs and wanting to suck on them again. And
she's saying, like, hey, if I have another baby, not getting any of my tatas, it's going to be nanas.
Can we just bottle? And so then he says, she said, how many kids would you want to have if money were no option? He said, seven. She's like,
Seven.
It's always a joke we're going to make.
It's always a friend's joke we're going to make.
So, and she said, yeah, we had a big family too, but you and I were poor growing up. So I don't want that for our kids. And he's like, well, and then she even says, why would we have another kid if we don't have a house?
Yeah, agreed.
These are all, it's interesting because she's still trying to reason with him. And he is going everything emotionally or by what he thinks a Samoan man should do. So he's like, a Samoan man should do this for his family. A Samoan man should have lots of children because that's what Moneybags has been feeding him and his whole life.
I think so, Lonnie needs to talk to him about, like, she has to kind of like, he says, well, I want this. He's always thinking of Endgame. I want this. And so Kalani always has to do, well, if you get this, then what do we need? To get that, what do we need? She always has to do this backwards thinking for him.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to get him to think a little bit. But I don't know. Kalani thankfully says, you know, it's my body. And if I'm going to have a baby, I'm the one that gets to decide.
Right. He's like, well, no, when my body and your body become one.
Two bodies come together.
She's like, what?
What the fuck are you? I love it when she gets to look like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I don't know if you guys have seen Kalani and Kalani on TikTok, but they're funny as fuck.
They are. And they do stuff really with Asuela too. They're very funny.
It's really funny.
I want to... Both of them, Kalani and Asuelu, they're like...
I'd hang out with them.
I think they're like in my top three of people I would want to have a beer with.
Me too.
Darcy, I would have a martini.
But you know, she wouldn't... I think Kalani and Asuelu would probably keep it real and be themselves.
Darcy's actually not my top three. I want to be around Darcy.
But Darcy would be... She would still be her like Instagram and on Instagram person. Stuff.
She would be on. Where Kalani, Asuelu... Melanie and Devar, they just
and
be
Rebecca and Zia would just be themselves.
Kyle and Noon, Kyle would be himself until Poodle tried to suck Kyle off.
Ooh, I say he's like, I'm gonna go hit the head. I'm like, I'll go with you.
Yeah, I don't think so.
You can slap me.
Okay, we need to move on, y'all. So, this is a really cute scene that. Asuelu, they're FaceTiming with his mom, and Asuelu, they're dancing.
It's
I don't know
like,
what it's called, but it's a Samoan.
Well, the Maori dancing, it's all like South Pacific dancing. The most famous is the Haka, which is like a war dance. And so this is their version of that. I don't know what it's called, but every kind of like Pacific Islander nation has its own kind of type of war dance.
Yes.
So they're all, and it's all a very special art form. And but the Hakka in New Zealand is the most famous, and that's the Maori who do that. I think the Rock is Samoan, so he
the
does.
The Rock is Samoan.
Yeah. But if you've ever seen Maori men with the tattoos, usually it's face tattoos, but they'll do in the Hakka. It's similar. It's a similar route, but they all have individual dances.
He already did a dance whenever he came over. I'm so excited to see that. He did a dance apparently at the airport, which is very famous.
That's season 5, I believe.
It is season 5, I believe. Because we're just started season 4 of 90 Day for our classic. We're going to launch those in a couple of weeks.
With Anfisa. Who you called Antifa.
Hey, by the way, y'all, this is a new thing we're doing. When we start season 4 on our classic, we're going to put that first episode out for free. Just for you to listen, remind you if you want to jump in. So we'll have that.
So the
kids dance. Oliver is like a baby poodle just over there twerking. On his playset.
Kalani just dies laughing at those kids.
And she finally just says, I laughed when she says things like, my mom, let me take the children of the corn out of the room. Anyway. And
those children are wild.
They're wild. And then Asuelu is going to talk to his mom.
Hello, son.
And you know what? I texted you this. I don't know if you saw it. Instead of actually talking about the call, y'all, I know this was all, they spoke all in Samoan or whatever the language they speak. I'm assuming it's Samoan, but I don't know. And there was translated subtitles. Our subtitles got a little weird. The television went out here. We realized some people couldn't. So we're going to do a translated version of this for Reality Gaze Theater. The percussion that time.
Yeah.
I liked it. Poodle is going to be playing the role of Asuelu. I'm kidding. Poodle's going
to
be playing.
I was about to walk away. I will never let you have money bags.
Poodle is going to be playing the Emmy-nominated, wait, not Emmy, the Tony, wait, no, not, the Razzie, the Razzie-nominated part of Moneybags Mama, and I will be playing the role of Asuelu. And scene. Hey, Mom.
Hello, son.
Hello. Good to see you, Mom. Love
it's
you so much.
Good to see you. Yes.
I want to have more kids, Mom. I want to have more kids.
How are you? Well, that is a Samoan man's job.
I want to have many
Kalani,
kids, Mom.
That is her job to pop them out as much as she can, like a Pez dispenser. Beep, 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 I love beep. Pez.
That's good, Mom. I just love when you gave me
Pez. I miss it when I go to Samoa.
Mom,
I'm going to go there soon.
But I want a big family. I want big family, big kids. We had so many kids. What was that saying that you said about kids, Mom?
You got to have a lot of kids. You got to have a lot of kids, Asuelu, because some of them are going to be shitty.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
You know,
I'll try
you.
Yeah. No, I try. Mom, I try.
You were a... you're so-so.
You also told me
sending me money.
Bring as many as you can.
I like the money.
Yes, some are good. Some are
bring as many as you can. That's what I'm saying.
And the good ones give you money. I'll try, Mom.
Because
I'll try.
I want money. It's what I want. Money.
All right. Well, I'm sad you're gonna go back. I guess I won't see you before Christmas.
No, no, son, son. I want to come visit you at Christmas, and I bring Tammy. I'm sure everything will be fine.
I don't talk to Tammy. Tammy went crazy. Do you remember when she had that horrible eyeshadow and the tell-all and she told me I needed to get divorced?
We come to have a nice celebration. We celebrate baby Jesus.
Oh, crap. You said Jesus. I can't argue with that. Okay. Yeah. I'll pay for your hotel, Mom.
You're
but
a
look,
good
Mom,
son. I'm going to bring Tammy.
If you come, I won't be able to give you money.
Click.
And scene.
That was basically how it went.
He did say, he said, Mom, I'll pay for the hotel. I am happy the way you're talking to me.
Oh, yes. I am happy the way you're treating me now.
Money bags, purrs.
Excellent.
Excellent.
I want money. It's what I want. You get them from the birds and the bees.
Lib, money. I just want loan from father. That's what I want, Lib. Loan from father.
I just love how transactional Moneybags is. I kind of respect it.
Yeah, she's very, very transactional.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad they're coming. Producers might have paid for it. And, you know, because if the producer said, hey, Moneybags, we'll pay for your way to see your son. Yes. Yes. I will go.
It's what I want. I'd do anything for money. When they showed that.
What is my day rate?
Attached, you will find my rider.
Yes. 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 Fiji water. It's all I want.
I liked it when they showed it again and I forgot. You'll never forget that meme of Kalani, just give me them. I don't care about the kids. Give me the money.
Give me the money.
Oh, and Tammy saying, no, just give my mother money. And that's when that on that classic meme that Christina did, don't walk away from me.
That was one of my favorite memes ever.
Oh, good times.
I need to repost that.
It was a great season.
We need to repost that meme.
It's down. I think it's far just further down there now.
I know, but people aren't going to. Would you scroll down?
No. No. Let's talk about Yara and Joby.
Oh, we're talking about Yara and Joby. I thought, what Libby, else okay. No, let's. Yeah, I let's talk about Yara. Yeah, I thought Libby and Andre, but it's too long. Let's talk about Joby.
Oh,
and
you're right. Let's. We did say that.
We did say, but you know what?
Oh, no, let's,
no, I agree. Because we talked a lot. It's already going to be a long show. So let's talk about
it. Really
Joby,
long
y'all.
Show.
Let's talk
fucking,
about
fucking Tiffany and Ronald, y'all.
Let's talk about Joby, child.
Joby! We're going to do Joby at the airport. We're going to go have some boudin. We're going to go have some shrimp etouffee. We're going to go have some crawfish. Ooh, baby.
Just get it out.
They are picking up Joby at the airport, and she is so much excited because they left when she was a newborn. She's 4 months old.
I am so much excited because, again, I love this couple. Yara is such a great mom.
Yeah.
She really is doing her
best. Did you notice her just looking at Myla, little Myla, and just like looking at her and smiling, and Myla going...
They're obsessed with this kid, and it's wonderful to see.
Y'all, there's a picture of Joby as a baby at like 3 months old. It's a carbon. Myla is a carbon copy of him.
I think Joby and drag would be beautiful with those lips. Oh, yes.
So they're talking about, well, now that she's like, a lot of things have happened, Joby. Now that you're married, there's a certain vowel that the people in New Orleans use, that married.
Married, yes.
Yeah, you're married.
You're married.
The of married. You're married.
And I love that Gwen's like, on their way to pick up, Gwen says, Yara, do you think Joby's excited? She's like, of course he is. I'm Yara.
Yara, we're going to go to the airport and get Joby.
But she does joke and say he probably just wants to see Myla more. Now, before he picks up Monty, the dad, who I get a little attracted to sometimes. I'm not
going
to lie.
No, again, this is unresolved trauma. Okay. Something's wrong.
You know
here.
What? But people were with me with Papa Lowe. Some sissies came with me.
A smaller, no.
You know what?
You say people were worth me. There was a poll done, and Papa Lowe had like 2%.
You know what? I might need to process that.
You're freaky deekies.
So Monty basically says, you know, we work the same kind of schedule. And he says, it's challenging to leave your family. You miss them. They grow up. You come back. You see the difference in the kids. But that's what we chose, and that's the life we've chosen. Yara is never going to understand that.
It reminds me of just like how people on boats, you know, people like fishermen boats that go out for a long time, it's not as long, but they're, you know, this culture of people who work like this, they're off for 3 months, and the oil industry pays very well.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like they need you there at a certain time and they're going to take a huge part of your life, but it's a trade-off.
Yeah.
You get paid well, but you're going to miss time with people you love.
Yeah.
So, and especially if you're from a certain part of the world, it's just like, that's what men do.
That's what you
do.
You
go off.
And sometimes women, but in this case, mainly men, but yeah.
Right.
Yeah, very much so.
So I'd be interested to see what the gender breakdown is.
Oh, I wasn't talking about this. Right. You were talking more about this job, but there are other jobs.
Underwater mechanics.
But no, I just meant there's other jobs where women are.
Oh, I was talking specifically about this. Yeah.
I don't know. Come at us if you're an underwater mechanic.
Or an underwater robot operator.
We had a coal miner.
Yep. Yovi and Yara, we are gathered together.
Tavar does welding underwater.
Design, deep sea, something
deep
like that.
Deep sea
too.
Welding. That's cool.
Deep sea underwater welding or something.
He needs to do something undercovers. Oh.
So, y'all, they are coming. It's the same escalator that Jovi always comes down, sees Myla, and I love it. I
got emotional.
I will say, he on his Instagram, he's got a lot of pictures with her.
I got emotional because this was the same, y'all. This was the same escalator Yara came down less than a year ago.
Yeah.
And she was like, "Don't touch me, you're too close." And now he's coming down to see. And with the music, I got totally emotional because, and also felt for both of them and thought, because y'all, we forget they're so fucking young.
Yeah.
And it's
Joey's 30, but Yara is like, we always fuck up Yara's age. Yeah.
I think she's 28. But it's still just like, wow, so much has happened to y'all in a year.
I also, what's interesting is, first of all, Joey's hair is out of control.
He even says, I need a haircut.
I need a haircut, y'all. My hair is like my Joby's in between Tim. And my other like straight guy who kind of talks like this.
Can Tim be on the single life again? I would love to see Tim now.
I don't know if he would do it again.
Veronica is like, dude, just do it. Let me laugh at you.
I think he's doing Pillow Talk because Veronica wants him to do it. I don't think Tim really so enjoyed.
Funny. Yeah, that's true. And they have fun together.
So Myla, Jovi and Yar are kind of they're meeting again, one another again.
Yes.
And I wrote down, Jovi, remember how shitty Jovi was on his first season?
Yeah.
And things are better now, but it's not really the same because y'all, we still know Jovi's a bit of a party boy. But think about how reformed he is to this degree. Like, I mean,
this was my brother. My brother was kind of a party boy and a fuck boy. And then he got his wife pregnant and he totally changed his life around and became a really wonderful father.
He's not changed yet, though. We're going to see some more stuff.
Jovi. I was like, wow, shaded brother. My brother. Yeah.
But he's like, oh, I'm going to see my new home and I haven't even seen the house or anything. It's a little bit Christopher Walken, too.
It is a little bit.
Christopher Walken.
And so Yara even says, What you miss about me, Jovi? And not
no,
mine,
I miss you.
Jovi.
I miss you. I miss you
what
like you washing my clothes. I miss
and
you.
And Yara's, when he said wash my clothes, and Yara's face turned and looked at the camera.
Well, this is what
it was
they
so
do.
Fun. I know,
this
but it was
how
so
they
funny.
Talk to one another. I know. Yeah.
It's like, Jovi.
I liked it when they're going way out there. She's like, I am smart woman. I got him all the way out in the forest.
She said,
so he cannot
I make
go
him
to bars.
Live in a forest. He's not going away from me. I slow clapped. I said, Yara, y'all, because he's out in the forest. And she says, he don't need a bar. There's one bar, one restaurant. He don't need no bar, Jovi.
And he's like, Yara didn't consider any of my preferences. So
she's like, even the couch. She's like, they look at the part. It's just nice. It's just a fine apartment.
You get rid of my couch.
Jovi, I had to get rid of that couch. That's strippers. And who knows what was there, Jovi?
Diseases.
I could not clean it. Diseases. Jovi, no. Jovi.
I will say, this apartment is heads above their old place.
It's
further out. But
it's more way more spacious.
And more room for a baby.
And again, I know Gwen helped her a lot. And mom and Grandma Jovi. We saw
Grandma
that.
So what your friend someone gonna never the baby.
Oh Jesus. Jesus.
I am still vindicated by the fact that so many people said, I thought you were like making up an accent. And they're like, and then Grandma Jovi opened her mouth and was like, oh, that's it.
I agree. I said it. I gave you the you were right
I
pillow.
I felt very vindicated.
I agree. And
y'all, that's what people of that age. That's how a lot of Cajun ancestry people talk.
But still, even though Gwen and they helped her, it was just very moving to me that Yara did do a lot of this. She moved into this house.
Yeah.
She set up this Christmas tree. She wants him to feel it. I think she's such a resilient, and boy, we did not say this about her the first. We shaded her, and we thought she was a money digger,
Came for us.
And she came for us.
She's like, I guess you like me now.
And we were, I actually think it's almost inspiring what she has done to rise up to the occasion of being a mother and a wife to Jovi.
But Jovi sees and he's like, I moved to the suburbs.
Let me look at this. I'm going to go out on the balcony, see if I can throw some bees. Let me open this door to the balcony. Hey, Somebody beer me. Just a forest.
Just a squirrel. I guess I'm going to drink with a squirrel.
Hey, squirrel, show me your tits, squirrel. I got some beads for you, squirrel. Hey, squirrel. No, don't go away, squirrel. Oh, shit.
There's Robitaille, my squirrel friend.
Jovi's going to have to watch a lot of porn when you're sleeping.
He says, it's not marriage I expected when I married her. I don't think there's a lot of bad stuff here before. I think this is going to be one of those Julia Brandon kind of situations where there's not a lot to talk about.
Although, and we're going to talk about them in next episode on part two, but Betty's face, whenever they told her that was the apartment, did not look fake. She looked surprised.
I think that was a surprise. Now, I will say, don't do that to your parents, y'all. Don't say, this is our new home and expect them to do it on camera. That's gotcha shit. I just don't like it.
I kind of enjoyed it for them.
I don't know. All right, y'all, that's the show. This is a long one. God damn.
Well, we went off on Tiffany and Ronald. Y'all, that's the show. That's part one of this. Hey, I feel like we talked about so much at the end, so many announcements at the beginning. We're just going to say, y'all, leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Who gives a shit? Leave 5 stars. We call these people lonely heart poodles because aren't we all just lonely heart? Look at me, love, in all the wrong places. Go.
Keep going.
Looking for love in all the wrong places, poodle.
And if you drive over 45 and someone grabs your nuts and turns them, call us.
No, really. Call us.
Sounds hot.
Yeah. Ooh.